Sunday, so it's Rav Amital day. Let's talk a little bit about Rav Amital, some of his Torah and Parshas Chukas, how it reflected his overall stance of Talmud Torah. There's a medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim. A lot of medrashim about what Moshe sees when he's in Shemayim. And one medrash he sees is HaKadosh Baruch Hu learning Torah. So that's interesting. What does Moshe see? What part of Torah is Ribbono Shel Olam learning? We'd like it to be Beisa, but it's not. It's not Beisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is studying the laws of Paraduma. And he happens to be quoting the first mission of Parah, in the beginning of Masechas Parah, Rebbe Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, remember Rebbe Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, the Rebbe of Rebbe Akiva, one of the Rebbes of Rebbe Akiva, we'll get back to him in a moment, is studying the laws of Paraduma. He's teaching us what's the difference between a para and an egel. For a paraduma, you need a para. For an egel, you need an egel. So how do you determine? So he gives us the age range. That a para is a two-year-old, an egel is a one-year-old. So that just determines what's a calf, what's a cow. Just to help us understand the laws. And Moshe is a little bit shocked, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're infinite. You span the entire universe. And you're posking like a man, like a human being, like Blessed Ben Hyrcanus. You should be quoting Blessed Ben Hyrcanus. You should just be saying Torah on your own. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that, no, but I still want to quote Blessed Ben Hyrcanus. Okay? And Moshe says, well, I wish that person should be my descendant, that you're learning Torah in his name. Hashem says, yeah, he will be. And this is a drasha in Parshas Yisrael, because Moshe had a son named Mishem Elchad Eliezer. One of Moshe's sons was Eliezer. So according to the Medrash, this isn't just a reference to Moshe's biological son, Eliezer, but to his spiritual son, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, who would live 2,000 years later. So this is how the Medrash ends. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets assured that Eliezer ben Hyrcanus will be his, I don't know if he's his genealogical son, but he's his spiritual heir, because he's learning his Torah. Hashem is quoting Blessed Ben Hyrcanus. And what's the point of Blessed Ben Hyrcanus, Paraduma, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu quoting him? Because as much as Torah is in Shemayim, and as much as Torah is divine, and as much as Torah is immortal, and as much as Torah will outlast everything, good message to the boys leaving this week, whatever you're doing for the rest of your life is only time limited, it's going to expire, it's like buy some cottage cheese, it has an expiration date on it. And that expiration date is when you die, and everything you do in this world is meaningless after you die. But the only part that will have the meaning is Talmud Torah. I mean, it's meaningless, but there's nothing in this world that we take with us. There's no experience that it outlasts this world. Torah, even mitzvahs don't outlast this world. Torah outlasts this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to human beings. And he wants human beings to use their own seichel. And he wants human beings to use their own intelligence and their own analysis to paskin Torah. And even something as irrational and as beyond this paraduma, which all the great people tried to understand, even Shlomo Melch couldn't understand the reason for paraduma, even there, human ration and human decision-making, and if Blessed Ben Hyrcanus can draw darshan, maybe not the reason, but at least the halachos of what a par is, what an egla is, what the laws of paraduma are. And there is no absolute right or wrong in Torah. You'd think there's an absolute. We go into Shemayim, we'd know what's right or wrong. No, Hashem wants us to use human logic to determine what we think the truth is in our Torah, based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paskening or quoting Blessed Ben Hyrcanus to let us know that there's no absolute right in Torah. The right in Torah is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Chachamim to use their ration to pasken. Nick Tzos, in his introduction, he talks about the importance of learning the ear, and I want to talk about some of the applications of this. V'nasan lenu HaKadosh Baruch Hu atara barov rachamav Rav Aryeh Heller, 18th century. Hashem gave us his Torah with rachamim and chesed. Kifi hachras ha-sechel enushi. And now Torah has to be analyzed and applied based on human logic. Gam im eino emes be'erach ha-sechelim ha-nivdalim. Even if in the higher realms, in U.S. Malachim, and Torah has higher realms, whatever we're learning in Torah represents the logic of Hashem's universe, because all of Hashem's universe is encapsulated in Torah. So even if the pshat you have in a Rashi today, hopefully you'll be able to learn a little today, you'll be too busy packing, the pshat you have in a Rashi today is a little bit different than the pshat in some higher realm, in some higher universe, of where Torah is affecting some other galaxy or some other planet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to you, Ezra, to you, Mark, to you, and therefore your pshat today in Torah has a validity of its own. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paskening, or at least learning in the neighbor of Blessed Ben Hercules. Because that's a human being learning Torah and making logical decisions about Torah. There's a parallel Gemara in Bav Metzia Pevav. There's a machlokas in Shemayim about halach of tzaras. If the baharis tzaras comes before the white hair, or the white hair comes before the baharis, you need both in order to be tamei. But what about the sequencing? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's tahar. In the Masifta Derekia they say it's tamei. All the chachamim in Shemayim say it's tamei, and they say, well, let's ask Rabbi Bar Nachmani what he thinks. And they get Rabbi Bar Nachmani. Rabbi Bar Nachmani says tahar, and the Paschal comes out and says Ashracha, Rabbi Bar Nachmani, Shagufcha tahar. And he dies when he says the word Tar. That's the point that he's Niftar, so he dies by saying the word Tar. Same thing. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shemayim need to bring a Raya from Rabbi Bar Nachmani? And so it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Tar to human beings and to allow human Sak to have impact. And of course, here's the irony. The irony is that there's the biggest story in the entire Shas about human Tara versus heavenly and celestial Tara has the Blessed Ben Hercules on the other side of the ledger. In the Tanur Shalach Shalachanai, where he says there should be, in the end, there should be a Baskol supporting me. And we say, Achrei Rabim Lahatos, and Eim Ashkichim Baskol, and Rish Baruch was happy that human beings. And that's a machlokas about an oven that was reconstituted. What was the machlokas? An oven that was little bits and pieces of stone. The oven had fallen apart. You took the stone and pasted it together with duct tape in our language. Is it Mekabel Tuma? They didn't have duct tape, but is it Mekabel Tuma? And the Blessed Ben Hercules said, no. Why? Because that's not the ideal kli. And only the ideal kli can be Mekabel Tuma. Because the ideal oven is a perfect oven, the platonic oven. Not a man-made oven, just stitched together because you need to make some pito. But the whole point is, we live in the human realm. In the human realm, we don't always have the perfect situation. Sometimes we have to piece together kibbutz and piece together realities. So Lezo, ironically, at this stage, was arguing for the perfect Shemayim Torah. And in Shemayim, that's not a Tanur. In Shemayim, the perfect version of a Torah, a Tanur is a fully constructed Tanur. But again, Torah was given to human beings, and therefore it has to respond to human needs and vicissitudes. And therefore, this Tanur, according to the Chachamim, is considered a Tanur and could be done. So that was the basic theory that Rav Amital spoke about. Okay, the theory is three makaras, four makaras. Number one, the Medrash. Kodesh Baruch Hu is quoting Blessed Ben Hercules discussing laws of Paraduma. Number two, the Ksos's introduction. There's no absolute right or wrong. Torah and Shemayim is what human beings decide with the Rash and Hashem place, and of course, following the guidelines. You can't just say something out of the clear blue. Number three, the Gemara in Bav Metzia, where Rabbi Bar Nachmani paskins about the Machlokas and Shemayim, Shina Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Masifta Derakia. And number four, of course, the Tanur Shalachnai, the famous Gemara, Bav Metzia Nuntes, the Tanur Shalachnai. What are the applications of this? How does this change not just our theoretical view of Torah, but the way we learn Torah? So three applications. Number one, you all heard the story of the cry of the baby. You can't be English without hearing the story of the cry of the baby. But do you know the story of the cry of the chickens? So to be a real Gush Talmi, you need to know the cry of the chickens. But to understand the story of the cry of the chickens, you have to hear Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish used to say that you can't paskin about a woman who's crying because she's in Iguna. And she comes in front of Beis Din, and she's pouring her heart out, and she's been stuck for 20 years, and you say, you know what, let's take the emotion out of this, let's find the absolute truth, let's wait a day because we feel so bad for this woman. Her sadness, our compassion is going to shade the truth. Now the Chazon Ish says, he didn't say these words, I'm putting it into his mouth, you have to hear the cry of the woman. Namely, at that moment, the woman has a need, she's suffering, you have to take that into account because halacha has enough flexibility to allow you sometimes to be machmir, sometimes to be mekel, and therefore psak has to be a human psak based on human emotions and human needs. Said otherwise, if you came over to me and said, Rebbe, I just had bought a new deli sandwich and a little drop of milk fell on it, I'd say, no, throw it out. But if a caterer came to me and he had 30,000 shekel, $30,000 and whole vats of soup and a little drop of milk fell in, I'd open up a shulchan aruch and try to find a kula for him, because you're going to lose 30 shekel, he's going to lose $30,000. So you have to understand the context for your psak. In the context of a woman crying, so what happened? Once there was a blizzard in Gush, and there was a hafsakat chashmal, there was a blackout. And someone came from the kibbutz a long, long time ago, 40 years ago. Someone came from the kibbutz to ask Rav Amital a question. He put on his parka and he trudged through the snow to ask Rav Amital what to do with the chickens that were in the incubators, that were in the chicken coops. The electricity had fallen and these chickens would freeze in the blizzard. So evidently, Rav Amital put on his parka, put on his it was called the duban, those are the old style Israeli coats, and he walked all the way to Kfar Etzion in a blizzard. And he said, Rebbe, why are you going? I told you the story. You can paskin from Alon Shvut. He said, no, I can't paskin until I hear the chickens crying. I need to feel the pain of the chickens. So that's the story of the cry of the chickens, not the cry of the baby. Then you have to paskin based on real release. Anyone say, did you hear the story, the crying story of Grisha? Which one do you mean, the chickens or the baby? The cry of the chickens, the cry of the baby. Anyway, that's one application. Another application is very interesting. When I first started my job, Rav Amital called me into that. I remember that first day I was a Rebbe. He called me into his office and he said, whatever you do, don't let the tzaddikim ruin the yeshiva. What does that mean? So what I think it meant in Rav Amital's meaning was that, you know, these older boys who are in their fifth year or fourth year or sixth year, they've been here long enough, they know better what's right about the yeshiva. They're going to tell you what you have to do. You're the Rebbe. Do this, do this. We have this problem. Throw this boy out of yeshiva. Change this. Because when you're 21, 22, 23, you have a lot of confidence in yourself. You have a lot of fanaticism. And when you're a little bit older, you have more balance. So Valentel said, it's not the Rishayim that are going to ruin the yeshiva, it's the tzaddikim that are going to ruin the yeshiva, those who know better than you about how to make the yeshiva more kadosh and more tar. That's what Rav Amital said. But the truth is, he heard it from one of his rebbes. One of his rebbes, when Rav Amital went to the Chevron yeshiva, was Rabbi Cheskel Sarner. It's an important name. There's a sefer called the Chazon Yecheskel on Tosefta. It was written by Rabbi Cheskel Sarner. It's a very, very well-known name in the yeshiva world. He was a Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron. He used to tell the statement, don't let the tzaddikim ruin the yeshiva. What Rav Amital thought he meant was a little bit different. That sometimes you have people that are so pious and so reverential that it's hard for them to read a Gemara and not explain the Gemara like Rabbi Kivega, or not explain the Gemara like Rabbi Chanan, or not explain the Gemara like the Chazon Ish, because these are such great people. I'll read the Gemara, I'll read what they say, and there's no other way to read the Gemara. And that's not even when you learn it, you have to understand there are many, many possibilities to learn the Gemara. Not all are correct. Many Rishonim have differences of opinions. Sometimes Achronim read it a certain way. You want to read it a slightly different way with respect. And it's something I spoke about, if you remember, in Maalot, for those who were there, finding the space between creativity and reverentialism. It's very reverence, it's kavod. It's very hard. You can be too much mechabed, and then you have no creativity. You can be too creative without enough kavod, and you just say what you want because you want to say it. How do you find the space between trying to be creative in order to be reverent? I really want to understand the Gemara as best as I can. I know this is Dvar Hashem. I know there are many, many ways to understand it. I know that great people understood it a certain way. How could I see if there are other ways to understand it without trying? Sometimes people don't get that. Oh, the Rishonim said this, but I'm saying this because they didn't know what Chas V'Shalom. Or the Ramban said this, but I'm saying this in the Parsha. That's odious. That's disgusting. You say the Ramban said this, but in the new world of learning Tanakh, there are new ways that maybe the Ramban or others didn't articulate as much. Or Rabbi Kivya said this, but there may be another way to, with humility. But sometimes you can have too much piety that you can't imagine reading. That's what Rabbi Cheskel Sarner evidently thought would ruin his yeshiva. Chevron was always known as a very empowering yeshiva, trying to give empowerment to the Talmidim. They wanted the Talmidim, that's why I produced so many Gedolim. So he says that tzaddikim are going to ruin the yeshiva because they're not going to be able to understand the Gemara any way differently than Rabbi Kivya. It's a human Torah. And what's the way you're going to understand the Sugya? What's the way you're going to understand the Sugya? So it's Hashem gave it to human beings. The third way to understand this very briefly, it's a little bit lengthy, is that you should, many people in the 12th century were opposed. You know what the big controversy in the 12th century was? It wasn't Trump. The big controversy in the 12th century was, should there be Tamei HaMitzvos? The Rambam found the time for every mitzvah. And many people thought, by humanizing the mitzvah, you're taking away its transcendence. You should do a mitzvah because you don't understand it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you, which has certain logic. I'm not denying the logic. The Rambam was really opposed to that. And Rav Amital felt, this is awesome. A human Torah means there should be human logic and human ration and human reasons behind the mitzvahs. So this is, of course, you can well imagine, linked to Rav Amital's Sefer V'Aretz Nasan Lefnei Adam. You can maybe call the Sefer V'Hatorah Nasan Lefnei Adam. The Torah was given to human beings based on the story about Paraduma. Three applications. Number one, Psak has to be based on human experiences. Number two, human beings can learn Gemara even though they're not as great as previous people that had different ideas about how to learn. And number three, and not how to learn, but how to interpret. Number three, Talmud Mitzvot is not something that we should ignore or in any way deride. Talmud Mitzvot or disparage. Talmud Mitzvot helps to become a more human Torah. Okay.
Thank you.
Shavua Tov.